Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Our follow me, concluding, there's the word that came to me. We're concluding our series on follow me and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus today. This message series, I think, is one of the longest message series in the history of Hope City. It's been, today makes week 8. In the Follow Me series. That's a long series that we've done. Typically they're like 4 to 5 weeks long. 8 weeks in the series. And this series has challenged us. It's challenged me. And I mean, some of the things that God gave me to speak on through this series, I was like, woo, I gotta do this. I was convicted. There were some things that I had to give up. I just want to give you a quick recap of what we've talked about in this Follow Me series. Pastor Jason kicked it off with the call of Matthew. When Jesus called Matthew out of his tax collector's booth, out of the very thing that he was making a very wealthy living by exhorting his own people. And Jesus called him to be a disciple and said, follow me. And Pastor Jason talked about how when Jesus calls us, he expects an immediate response. Like, get up and go now. Move, right? And then I followed it up the next week speaking about how the people that Jesus spent time with, that he didn't come to spend time with healthy, righteous people. He came to spend time with the sick, the hurting, the broken, the lost. And when we are believers and when we follow Jesus, we have to spend time with people that need to know Jesus. We need to be aware of who we're inviting into our lives to share God's good news. And we can't be afraid to come in to like make an appearance in their lives either. And then Pastor Cherie spoke on a new way. And how Jesus calls us to kind of like step out of some of those comfortable jeans, those old jeans that we just feel really comfortable in. And sometimes he calls us to step into his new jeans. And they might like take a little bit to feel right. Following Jesus often is uncomfortable. And he calls us to do things that are uncomfortable. And then I spoke about how, you know what, when Jesus was on this earth, people laughed at him. And it didn't affect him. He kept doing what he was called to do. And when we step out and we follow Jesus, people think we're strange. We're weird. We're not like them. And it's okay. Let them laugh. Let them ask questions. Let them wonder and tell them the truth. Right? We talked about relentless faith and what it looks like to be so desperate for God's presence that we will do whatever it takes to be in relationship with Jesus and what that looks like. Pastor Cherie talked about having blind faith and that sometimes we don't even see what the next step is, but Jesus asks us to step into it anyhow, yeah. Right? Last week, Pastor Jason spoke on whose voice are you listening to? Because there's a lot of voices in this world that are trying to vie for our time, our attention. And we have to be really careful about whose voice we're allowing to have influence over us. And to make sure that God's voice is the main speaker in our lives, right? And this week, we wrap it up. We wrap it up going back to our year's theme, bear good fruit. Bear good fruit. Now, if we're going to be super honest, any message that we speak out of God's word could be titled, bear good fruit, right? Because every message that we speak should challenge us in some way on how to be more like Jesus, right? But this year, at the end of every sermon series, we're going to come back to our year's theme, bear good fruit. And that's what we're doing today. We're coming back to the year's theme, and we're wrapping up Matthew chapter 9. Now, the theme for the year, bear good fruit, goes exactly to the song that we sing today about being more like Jesus, about crucifying ourselves and our own desires and aligning our hearts with God's best plan for our lives. That's what it looks like in order for us to bear good fruit. And today, we're going to look at the last verses in the book of Matthew chapter 9. It says this: Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages in that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." These are the last four verses of Matthew chapter 9. When Matthew says that the people were like sheep without a shepherd, he was actually referencing the book of Ezekiel. He was referencing something that the prophet Ezekiel had said. And in Ezekiel 34, I'm going to paraphrase it because it's kind of long, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. I encourage you to go read Ezekiel 34 because it goes in line right here with what Matthew is referencing. In Ezekiel 34, there's a few things that happen here. First of all, God reprimands the people who were supposed to be shepherds over the people of Israel. And he reprimands them for not being very good shepherds. Then God reprimands the sheep, the actual people of Israel, for being self-absorbed and for mistreating one another. Then God promises to shepherd his flock and to give them a place to lie down in peace. This is all says in Ezekiel 34. Okay? And I want you to understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. God promised his people that he was sending them a shepherd, that it was going to create a place for them to lay down in peace and not live in fear and worry and anxiety. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. And here's Matthew referencing this, that Jesus looked out and he saw these poor people who were confused and wandering like a sheep without a shepherd. So there's a few things that I want to point out of this scripture and how it applies to our life today. Today's message is going to fall and it's going to look a little different than every other message. So you get ready, because this is how God has just laid it out for us. The first thing is I want you to recognize is that Jesus has compassion for you. Amen. Let me say that one more time. Jesus has compassion for you. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew says that Jesus looked at the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I looked up the dictionary definition, the Oxford Dictionary definition of compassion, and here's what it said. It's a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. It means this: to see someone's problem and have a desire to help them. To see the problem and have a desire to fix it. That's what compassion is. And Jesus had compassion on the people that he saw wandering, helpless, and confused. And Jesus has compassion on you. He sees you. He wants to alleviate your pain. He doesn't care what brought you to this place that you're in today. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't have a list of things that he needs you to do in order for him to be able to come near to you. He simply offers forgiveness. And our response is repentance. And that looks like this. When we're walking in our own way, when sheep are helpless and confused, and we're walking in our own way, we're walking this direction, and Jesus says, I'm over here. The shepherd calls. And he says, I'm over here. And repentance looks like this, turning away from the direction we're walking and walking towards the shepherd. Because the shepherd isn't going to walk in the same direction we're walking. He has somewhere different for us. And repentance looks like us turning from where we're walking and where we're heading in our own passions and our own desires and saying, Jesus, I want you. You are more important than this. Here's what the prophet Ezekiel said. God said through the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 34, 15 through 16, I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. Some of you sitting in here today, you're identifying with these lost sheep. You're identifying the fact that you've been wandering. You've been going in a direction that's of your own desire, of your own passion, of your own will. And you recognize that Jesus is calling you to turn and follow him. And right now, I want you to know that his desire is to bandage your wounds, to strengthen you in your weakness, and to heal you, and to save you. Because Jesus looks at you, and he has compassion. And right now, in this moment, he's saying, will you come? Will you come with me? And right now, there's some of you that you're saying, that's me. Right now, I need to say yes to Jesus. That's my first step in bearing good fruit. I need to say yes to Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to do something super bold. I'm going to ask you, when I get to three, stand up. One, get ready. If that's you and your heart's beating, he's calling you to follow him. Two, he's going to heal you. He's going to save you. He's going to help you walk another direction. Three, stand up right now. Come on. Woo! Right now. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. Yeah. Stay standing. We're all going to pray right now. You guys ready? Right now, all of us together, we're going to pray, Jesus, I recognize I've been going my own way. I'm like a helpless sheep, and I need the shepherd. You, Jesus, are my shepherd. You provided a way, and today I choose to follow you. I declare, you are my shepherd. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that are standing, maybe your next step is that now you need to make a public declaration that you need to be baptized. I'm going to invite you to go out those back doors. If you're ready to be baptized today, head out those back doors to see Jeff and Kelly back there. Look at that. Woo! Come on! Yeah! That is bearing good fruit. That is bearing good fruit. If you didn't stand saying that I need to follow Jesus, I'm going to assume, and maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to assume that you've already made that decision before today. So I'm going to assume that all of us in this room have now made a decision that we're following Jesus, that we've accepted his forgiveness, and we've recognized that he has compassion on me, right? Here's where the next step comes in. Are you ready? Forgiveness should fuel our own compassion for others, right? Once we experience Jesus' forgiveness, once we experience his new way of us doing things and we're walking in his truth, ha ha, look at all of these baptisms coming in. Woo! Come on. Ooh, we're going to have a good day. Once we experience that forgiveness, then we should then be moved to compassion for others. When we see people wandering, helpless, and confused, we shouldn't be appalled by their behavior. We should be moved to compassion and love for them and bring them home, right? I want you to pull that anchor verse back up, Jess. In Matthew chapter 9, because it says, when Jesus traveled, I want us to come right here. He turned to the disciples. There he is. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Once we've experienced Jesus' forgiveness and we come into relationship with him, we are his disciple, right? We're his disciple. A disciple is a person who's following the teachings of another person. I'm following the teachings of Jesus. What about you? Okay? I am Jesus' disciple. Okay? We follow Jesus, we grow, we learn, and we take on his compassion for other people. And the life change that's found in Jesus is not a secret club.
That's right.
It's not an exclusive club. Right? Of course, we do community together. That's what life groups are all about. It's important for us to come together and meet together and grow together and learn together, because iron sharpens iron, and we want to be able to be a light in a dark place. And the only way that we do that is that when we're growing together as a community, but anyone is invited to our club.
Amen.
It's not exclusive, right? We are supposed to have compassion on other people and invite them in, because Jesus isn't talking about us praying so that God will send someone to bring in the people. That's not what this verse is about. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out the workers. He's not telling us, you know what, you should spend some time praying so that God will tell people to get to work. We become the workers. All of us in this room are the workers. And he's like, pray that people are going to wake up and realize you're the workers. You're the workers of my field. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Jesus looked out on this crowd and he saw the helpless, the confused sheep of Israel. He looks out and he sees the confused and helpless sheep of the Rogue Valley. And he says, go get them. Go get them. Bring them home. Work the fields. You're the workers. I'm the workers. I grew up in church. I grew up going to conferences and conventions. And I will tell you that our anchor verse, where it says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few, So pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into his field. And that was often used to say, hey, pray that people will respond to the call of ministry. Pray that people will respond to God calling them to be pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries. And yes, we should. But not everybody in this room is called to be a pastor or a teacher or a prophet or an apostle or a missionary or an evangelist. Some of you are. God has called some of you. And maybe you're sitting there like, I don't really. He's called you. Some of you are running from that call. And you know exactly what I mean. Some of you are feeling really uncomfortable at this moment because right now, at this moment, God's tapping you on the shoulder like, that was you. I spoke to you 5 years ago. And you're remembering like, God called me to do that. Some of us, though, some of you in this room, God hasn't given you any supernatural call to go and be a pastor of people or be a traveling evangelist or a missionary in another country, but he's called you to be his worker. Every single person in this room, he's called us to be his worker. I want you to read and follow me in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Paul says this: these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Newsflash! Here it is. You ready? God called Pastor Jason, myself, Pastor Avi, Pastor Cherie to plant Hope City, to equip you to build Hope City. Let me just say that one more time. God called Jason, myself, Cherie, and Avi to plant Hope City so that we could equip you to build Hope City and do the work of the church. Come on. Come on. The job of leading the church falls directly on the pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, apostles. That's our job. But the job of building the church is all of our job. Amen. Church is not a social club. Okay? We're not a country club where you get to come and sit and be fed. That's part of it. Like, hang on just a second. That is part of it. It's important for us to come every week and be fed, and worship together, and be like-minded, but it should never end there. It should never end there. That's not what church is about slipping in and slipping out and going about your business. Okay? Hope City, specifically, but the church, the big church on a whole, is not a cruise ship. And I am not your cruise director. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? Some of you. For those of you that haven't been on a cruise, let me just tell you. When you go to a cruise, there's an appointed cruise director. And the job of the cruise director is to make sure that you are entertained and fulfilled at all hours of your cruise. They plan all the activities for you to participate in, and you have a smorgasbord of things to choose from to make sure that you're entertained and you get the most out of your cruising experience. I am not a cruise director, and I do not lead a cruise ship. Because Hope City isn't about us sitting together in a secret club and making sure that we're having a good time. It's part of it. Like, we should have fun together. That's what life groups are for. That's what movie nights are for. I mean, we have fun together. But let me tell you something. Hope City is a battleship. And let me tell you, battleships are not comfortable. They are not necessarily a fun place to be. Jason and I had the opportunity to tour a retired battleship, an aircraft carrier, last summer. And let me tell you, it is cold, it is rough, it is very metally. There's not a lot of padding or cushion, okay? There is no place for you to, like, sit on the Lido deck and catch some rays, all right? But let me tell you this. Every single person in those bunks had a job to do, and when the time was right, every person took their position and fought for our country, for the freedom that you and I take pleasure in. And that is what Hope City, that's what the church is called to do. We're called to be a battleship. That when the time is right, we take our places and we go and we rescue people from the dark corners of every part of this valley, and we bring them into the kingdom of God so that they are no longer damned to hell, but they're going to heaven for eternity. Come on! We are a battleship. And that is how Hope City bears good fruit. It's about us taking part and saying, yes, I'm going to step up. I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to be a place where people know that they are fully loved, that they are safe to heal, that they are equipped to make a difference. They are going to know that our mission in this world is to love God and love people. That is our job. That is how we bear good fruit together at Hope City. Woo!
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.